What do you think about death? Now, maybe you didn't anticipate coming here and hearing such a rousing welcome to the message. But I'll get there eventually. But I want you to think about this for a moment. It is a well-known fact that all of us will die. How should we think about that? How do you think about it? Do you even think about it? How often does it come into your mind? Some of you that might work in jobs where you might see it on a regular basis, whether you're in a hospital or working in EMS or whatever. But how do you think about it? Some of you have struggled with the death of someone close to you. Some of you just even probably recently this year, maybe a parent or a sibling, a friend or a spouse or a child. Others of you may have little experience with it. Maybe you have not lost anybody close to you as of yet, have not had a lot of contact or close contact with it. Even as a pastor, it's interesting as I think back, in my 14 years of ministry here, I've only been a part of 3 funerals. And you might think that's strange, but it just has how things have happened. A pastor friend of mine who just took over a church recently, he had 4 funerals in his first month. It's a different experience than my experience. But even so, I have been close to death. I think of some of those experiences. My father died, it's almost, well, it'll be 29 years this December, of a sudden heart attack. I was 21 years old. I look, trying to think back what it was like to be 21. It's a long time ago, but I still vividly remember that time, getting that phone call and driving up to see if I could get up there and visit with him. And he passed while I was traveling up to Michigan. My mother was hit by a car 9 years ago on Labor Day weekend, that busy weekend of traffic, and she was crossing the road in front of her home and was killed instantly. And I still remember. I remember that phone call from my brother Kent. It was a Friday late afternoon, and he called me, and he was at the scene, and they wouldn't let him go up there, but he could see our mother laying on the road in front of her house. Those images stick with us. They never leave. My brother Kent, who I've talked about over the last few years, died of cancer last year on September 19th. And I remember driving his daughter up to Michigan on that Saturday because they knew that his time was short. And we were 2 hours too late. By the time we arrived, he had already passed away. And I'm sorry if this seems a little bit in your face this morning, but I intend it to be, because death gets in our face sometimes. And I remember coming into the house, and his body was still in the kitchen there in the hospital bed, and the nurse was still there, the hospice nurse, and she said, can you help me get his body ready for the people to come and take it? And so I helped move him around as she got his body ready for them to come and take it. And there was no avoiding it. There was no getting around it. My brother was gone. He was gone. I remember Brenda Freed in her last days, and that picture. I still can see that picture of her raising her hand, I think the day before she passed. Was it the day before?
No, it was Saturday.
It was Saturday. Okay. Soon before she passed, when they were singing, the family was singing that her favorite song, "To God Be the Glory." And soon after that, she was gone. I remember Sandy Gregg texting me at 3:30 in the morning, telling me that her husband Charlie had a heart attack. And I went into OSU Hospital, and we prayed and we waited as the team worked urgently to bring Charlie back. And finally, after a long day at the hospital, we sat with the family in the conference room and made the difficult decision to turn off life support. And we walked into the room as they did it and watched Charlie die. He was gone. I could go over quite a few memories of being face to face with death. It reminds me of this story that we're looking at today, the story of Lazarus. Lazarus was dead. He and his sisters, Mary and Martha, were among Jesus' closest friends. And Lazarus, we don't know what happened, but we know as being a part of this broken world that all kinds of sickness and illness happen. We've all been touched by it. Lazarus came down with something serious. And he was getting worse very quickly. And so his sisters urgently sent word to Jesus with the hopes that he would come and heal Lazarus. And after receiving the message, Jesus intentionally waits 2 days. It's a curious story. He waits 2 days. And then by the time he arrives, Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. And to pick up our passage we're going to look at today in John chapter 11, you're welcome to follow along in your Bibles. Verses will be up front as well. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Have you ever said that to Jesus? "Lord, if you had been here," maybe you didn't say it exactly like that, but in, you know what we mean. "Lord, if you had touched him," I prayed for my brother many hours. "Lord, if you had healed him, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died." I don't believe Martha was accusing him, but she was simply expressing her lack of understanding. I know you could have saved him. Why didn't that happen? Why did you let him die? And those of us who have lost loved ones, we have wrestled with that question, both at the time and even as the years go. And we remember, and we miss them, and we think, "God, you could have, they could still be with us. I think sometimes as a pastor, my dad was a pastor, and I think there are times where I'm studying a difficult passage, and I think, you know what? It would be awesome if I could just pick up the phone and call him and say, "Dad, what do you think about this? What do you think about this, this passage here? How do you read it?" My dad never even knew that I became a pastor. Maybe he knows now. I don't know how that works. But all of you who have lost someone, you have those experiences where you, even then you're saying, "God, I wish they were here with me." Mary, a few verses later, makes the very same statement as Martha. She says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." They are full of grief and the loss of the death of their brother Lazarus. It is a common thing to all of us when we lose someone. I don't have to tell you that death is painful. One of the most painful things that we are confronted with in this life. Verse 35 is a verse that maybe some of you memorized as a child for those scripture drills. What is it? Anybody want to say? Jesus wept, the shortest verse to memorize in the Bible. And you save it for those scripture drills. But Jesus wept. It says when he was taken to Lazarus' tomb, Jesus wept. He knew it was painful. He identified with the pain. He felt the pain. This was his dear friend. He saw the hurt, the mourning, the loss in Mary and Martha. There's a reason we don't talk much about death. There's a reason that you felt a bit uncomfortable, as I've talked about it here already this morning, especially what it means to be face to face with death. We don't want to face it. It hurts. Doris and I have talked about it several times. I don't know if other married couples do that, but we have talked about it before. What would it be like if the other one would go before us? What? How would we function? Would we be able to keep doing the things that we're doing? Would we marry someone else? Those questions, we've talked about them. What would that be like? And I used to kind of joke about it. I don't do it anymore, but I used to joke about it since my dad died at 60, age 60. And my grandfather also died of a heart attack at the age 60. Like, well, I got 10 more years. Doris didn't really appreciate that kind of joking. And I don't know if it makes it easier or not to think of it that way. I think of Charlie. He was 50. And Sandy said something to me. She said, after my birthday, she said, I'm just relieved that you turned 50. Nobody wants to talk about it for good reason. I know you're uncomfortable with it this morning. Death in itself is terrible. Death without Jesus is scary. It's terrifying. But what is death with Jesus? What is death with Jesus? And that's why I'm so excited this morning to share with you one of the last I am statements that we're going to look at. I am statements of Jesus. I'm excited to share this one with you. I'm ready to turn the tide here of this discussion. Let's look at verse 25 and 26. Jesus replies to Martha. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Death has been defeated by Jesus Christ. I could have talked to you this morning about the election, about the future of our country, or any manner of things that are on our minds and may be disturbing us this morning. And I was tempted. I was tempted to change direction. But you know what? I know of no greater news to tell you this morning than the fact that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. No greater news that we could talk about this morning. I keep asking this question as we've looked at the I ams of Jesus. Do we really understand who Jesus is? Who he really is? Martha didn't get it. As we see in the following verses, she knew and loved Jesus, but she didn't understand that standing in her presence was one who had the power over death, both for the immediate and for the future. She didn't get it. Death has been defeated. It has no lasting power over those who believe in Jesus. And that's how we should think about death. I know it's difficult for us to think about death in that way sometimes. We are overwhelmed by all the other things that we think about when we think of death. But this is how we, as followers of Jesus Christ, are to think about death. There are two places in this story where it says that Jesus was deeply moved in his spirit. He was greatly troubled, depending on the translation you have, how it describes it. One place was in verse 33 when he saw Mary and the others weeping. The other is when he came to the tomb where Lazarus' body was laid. It says he was deeply troubled. He was disturbed. What was going through his mind, do you think? We don't know exactly. But I think many of us have been deeply troubled and disturbed in the face of death. And maybe that's how you felt when I was talking this morning to begin with. We have been in places where we have faced death. We have been deeply troubled and disturbed. I don't think in quite the same way that Jesus was here. I believe he was tremendously agitated and perturbed by the realities of death. He had come to defeat Satan and death, and here he is brought face to face once again with all of its pain and anguish. And I believe he was done with it. He was like, this is going to be taken care of. He was agitated. And I can hear him. I don't know if his inflection, I wish sometimes that the Bible had the recording, you know, so we could get the inflection of how things were said, because I think we miss things often, because we misread it, because we don't get the expression that's there. I don't know how he said these things, but as I look at this phrase where he says, take away the stone, I have to think that there was some agitation in there yet. Take away the stone. Take away the stone. And Martha's like, but he's been in there 4 days. Believe, Martha, believe. Believe me. Take away the stone. I am the resurrection and the life. Take away the stone. And it does say with this phrase that he did say with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! What would it have been like to be there? It says there was a crowd gathered who were mourning with Mary and Martha. Standing around, they went with them to the tomb. What would it be like to be there? Would it be like one of those horror movies where you see this guy come stumbling out in grave clothes? I don't know. Some people were probably freaked out by it a bit, I would guess. Or a science fiction movie where these things happen that you just couldn't imagine that they could happen. What power, what authority, what joy. Can you imagine the joy that Mary and Martha had of seeing Lazarus again? Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And it is with this same intensity and conviction that Jesus, just a short time later, allows himself to be taken by sinful men as the perfect sacrifice. He who knew no sin, crucified in our place and placed in the tomb, just as Lazarus was placed in the tomb. And 3 days later, the women came to the tomb to prepare his body, and the stone had already been rolled away. And an angel told them, He's not here. He is risen. Jesus defeated death once and for all. As awesome as Lazarus' resurrection was, guess what? Lazarus died again. He had to die twice. As awesome as that resurrection was, it was simply a precursor of what was to come. Jesus' ultimate conquering of death through his own resurrection. And this morning, Jesus offers that resurrection power to you and to me. That same resurrection power, Jesus offers it to you and to me. His resurrection power is all-encompassing. He's not just talking about our physical bodies. He's talking about our spiritual being as well. Would it not be a cruel joke to have our physical bodies resurrected and live forever with the same dead spirit inside? The same unkind, sometimes violent, sometimes cruel, sometimes uncaring, inconsiderate, gossiping, lying, cheating, stealing spirit inside. Would that not be a cruel trick to resurrect the physical body without resurrecting the spiritual body? But no, Jesus' resurrection power is all-encompassing, body and spirit. The Bible tells us that we are dead in our trespasses and sins, spiritually dead. If you remember from the beginning, God said, Adam, if you eat of this tree, you will surely die. And he ate of it, Adam and Eve ate of it, and they died. Did they die physically right away? No. But they immediately died spiritually. And all mankind after them. It is why Jesus told Nicodemus, what did he tell him? When Nicodemus came to him, he said, you must be born again. You're spiritually dead. You must be born again. And if we believe in Jesus, we are born again into new life. Scripture says that we are a new spiritual creation. The old has passed. Anybody excited about seeing the old past? I am so excited about that. The old has passed and the new has come. Spiritual resurrection followed by a future physical resurrection. A resurrection that is total and complete. Yes, we were all spiritually dead in our sin, yet in Christ we can be resurrected. And maybe you're here today struggling with even that idea. You don't know the sin that I have in my life. You don't know the things that I'm struggling with. You don't know the demons that have control of me. You don't know how bad I've messed things up. Maybe you don't have a hope for the future. Nothing to live for in your mind. And maybe it's in some ways like Martha was saying to Jesus when he said, roll back the stone, open the tomb. She said, no, Lord, you don't understand. He's been dead for 4 days. And maybe that's how it feels sometimes in this life. I don't know if you feel that way, where you feel lost sometimes. God, This is beyond. Been dead for 4 days. There's no hope. I want to tell you something. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I'm going to keep coming back to that. There is hope. There is no spiritual death that cannot be raised. by the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He can bring life out of death, both now and forever. Our physical bodies will die sooner or later. It's going to happen. As I mentioned before, Lazarus, he was raised, but he died again. We will all die. You know, we try and push that back as much as we can. And I think we are to take care of ourselves as much as possible. I try and do that myself. I try and exercise. I try and eat right. Pizza maybe once a week. I don't know. Is that good enough? I don't know what your diet you're on or what you think is a healthy lifestyle. And it's interesting, you know, to see all of the advertisements for things to preserve this body, to keep those wrinkles from happening on our faces. And I notice they just keep coming, you know, as age comes. You just can't avoid them. But you can get this cream that just magically wipes them off your face. It's amazing. I haven't tried it yet, but. But our world is obsessed with that, to push death back and try all kinds of methods to do that. Cryogenically preserve your head so that it can be put on some other body in the future when they learn how to do that. Fascinating idea to me. I don't know how that will work, but anyway. Our physical bodies, as much as we try, they will die. Sooner or later, they will die. I want to finish with a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I wish I could read all of it to you this morning, but I just chose a section. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this imperishable body must put on, this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. I find it interesting that we often take that last verse off the end of there and use it for all kinds of things, but it's in this context that he encourages us here to be steadfast because of this truth that death has been defeated. There is victory in the end. So what do we think about death? It's been defeated. Yes, for a little while, we suffer its effects. We suffer them both physically and spiritually. I already said, I can see the effects on my body. It is deteriorating. And as much as I try, it is going to continue to deteriorate. We are not totally resurrected spiritually yet, are we? Either. We're still struggling. We're still growing and changing. But there is coming a day when our spiritual and physical resurrection will be completed in Jesus Christ. And I am looking forward to that day. No more death in any shape or form, but we shall be like Christ, is what Scripture says. Our spiritual rebirth will be complete, and we shall be given new immortal bodies. We will always be with the Lord. What a day to look forward to. And I want to finish with this question that Jesus asked Martha. In their discussion, he says, after he makes this statement, he says, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe? It's really the only question that matters here when we look at the truth of what we're told. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Do you believe? I don't care whatever question you're struggling with here this morning. That is the question. The most important one to think about here. Do you believe? I know this life is hard. I know we don't understand why Jesus sometimes waits 2 days or waits 5 days or 2 years or 10 years. We don't see the big picture. We don't know what's going on. We don't know how God wants to use circumstances to glorify his name, but we know that's his purpose and intention. We don't know those things. And it can be frustrating. It can be, I don't understand how this, why did this happen? Why did this person get healed? Why did this person die? We can't answer those questions. We don't see the big picture that God sees. We struggle with the effects of death. We see it all around us, both physically and spiritually. But do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? It's my question for you. Do you believe that? Jesus is saying to you this morning, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Death has been swallowed in victory. I don't know a better way to end this time this morning than this song that kept coming to mind as I was working on this message. And I thought about this song because it so clearly brings this message out that death has been defeated. It's one that we typically sing just at Easter, but I want to sing it today in fall. So would you stand and let's sing. And as we sing this, pay close attention. set cheer the dark valley of sorrow and made us immortal to heaven ascend. Lift then your voices in triumph on high, for Jesus hath risen and man shall not die. All God's people said, amen. Amen.